If today's show was a children's lunchbox, it would just be overflowing with LCM bars. That's how tasty and sweet it was. Am I right?
Ooh, we did talk about that, though. The potential banning of junk food for kids in their lunchboxes. Bill Shorten came in and had a chat to us and then spoke to our good friend Rich Uncle Mal on the phone.
Mm. How good was he? Also Peter Garrett.
Yeah,
Midnight Oil. Yeah, had a chat to him, and yes, his dancing is still the same.
And just talking dancing, I told you how I did aerobics in the early 80s.
So going to see that, Marta. I'm sorry. You have to give me an aerobics class.
Well, it's okay. Peter Garrett described it as...
It was just an explosion of limbs.
It was. It really was. Of course, you can win Midnight Oil tickets with us, triplem.com.au. You have to be a Triple M club member. Do that. Listen to 104.5 Triple M. We'll catch you tomorrow from 5.30. Until then, enjoy the catch-up.
This Marto, Ed and Robin catch-up is brought to you by the unbreakable Toyota Hilux SR5 with satellite navigation and 3.5-tonne towing and trailer sway control. Search Toyota Value.
The Great Circle 2017 Tour. They're playing the River Stage Sunday, October 15 with the Jezebels, another fantastic band. Tickets on sale Monday, Feb 27, 1pm through ticketmaster.com.au. Oh. And right about now, we have with us two of the gentlemen from Midnight Oil, Jim Magini and a frontman, Peter Garrett. Hello, boys.
Morning, Brizzy. Thanks.
Well, we may as well start with finance. Why? Who needs the money? Why is this tour going on? Is it the accountant?
Actually, we're lucky. No one ripped us off on the way through. We used to read the fine print. It's tragic. You know, you look at what happens to lots of people and, they're concentrating on their music and they end up getting stung. So, no, luckily that didn't happen to us.
Oh, that's good.
So why come back?
Why not?
Yeah. That's true.
We're healthy. Everyone kept playing music. And, look, I think the real answer is that everybody kept playing music, and when I came out of politics and did a solo record, which I didn't expect to do, and sort of really felt that, you know, love that kind of had always been there, but I'd been doing other things, met up with everybody, we're healthy, we're relatively sane, we love what we've done, and we enjoy playing together. It's a massive noise that we make, so let's go out and connect with our people.
And you don't hate each other either, which is probably a good thing.
No. We don't actually, especially after spending so long in a Tarago, 5 years or whatever it was.
Will there be an upgrade? Because you used to have it be. The tour buses were pretty ordinary. Now you're old.
Yeah. I'm hoping.
Are you driving around?
Yeah.
Doing exactly like we used to, actually.
All right.
Yeah, so it'll be. I don't think it's going to be that different. You know, I think that the music's the fuel that keeps you going, it gives you the energy to do stuff. And I think for us, it's just a case of, I mean, we're in a rehearsing studio now. We've got 160, 170 songs in front of us and we're just working our way through them. It sounds massive.
Wow. And so when do you go back and look, I mean, now because of, you know, YouTube and everything else, you can see pretty much most gigs ever.
Yeah.
Have you guys gone back at all and looked at any footage from the Blue Sky and Mining or Diesel and Dust or any of those to go, oh, that's right, we used to have a bit there where we did that. Maybe we should do that again.
Yeah, all the different live versions of the songs. We put together a box set of everything. There's about 14 hours of extra material that people haven't heard or seen.
Wow.
That's been going for the last couple of years. I've been pretty involved in that. And there's a lot of stuff there. So, you know, being in touch with it again is fantastic. And you see the good stuff and maybe the stuff where you weren't paying attention so much and something got through the gate, you know. But mostly I'm pretty proud. I mean, I think we're all pretty proud of what we've done. And it's just lovely to be able to get back together. Everyone's still alive. Everyone still cares about playing music and cares about it, you know, so let's do it. And there's people out there, I think, that are interested.
Jim, what about Peter Garrett's dancing style? A lot of footballers would slow down by that age. How's he looking on stage?
Oh, really, really hot, really good.
Yeah, helicopter like. helicopter having an accident like?
I think it's spontaneous.
Yeah, stop taking the piss. Yeah, no, come on. I'd defy anyone else to come out and do 2.5 hours with me once we get out there.
Yeah, man. You'll do 2.5 hours because a lot of people saw Springsteen and he's doing 2.5 to 3.
He was great, wasn't he?
For it? Oh, yeah.
It was incredible.
Come on, Pete. Your kids must laugh at your dancing at some point.
Look, they've seen other parts of me that are probably more laughable, you know.
It's going to be huge. Midnight Oil, the Great
Circle. I see me in my jammies, you know.
Actually, you used to take your shirt off a lot because you were always a big sweater on stage. Is it still okay for that? A lot of old blokes get there a little bit conscious or you have a rashie or a singlet on or something.
Look, I'm you know, you ask the questions and I'll keep on not thinking about
it. Yeah, right.
But Pete, there's
too terrible to think about, isn't it, really?
Actually, both of you guys, there's a lot of nostalgia around the Oils. Like, people are very passionate
it's
about
what
we their
grew
memories.
Up with.
Exactly right. Yeah. Will it be the same?
It'll be different. There's no doubt about it. I mean, obviously, we're going to play a bunch of songs that people know. And I think for us, the incredible thing is, I mean, as Jim says, you know, we still love playing together. And we're not the kind of band that would do it for the sake of doing it. I mean, I don't think we could, to be honest. So I think there'll be things that are a little different as well. And, I mean, I actually don't see it as nostalgic. I see it as broadening what we've done previously. And I know another generation of people are going to come out and see the band.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as Jimmy says, there's lots of stuff that's available now. There'll be some unreleased material that comes out, and we'll probably play a couple of those songs as well. And we've got a lot to choose from.
You know? And good music never gets old. You know, it just gets rediscovered. That's an old.
Yeah, that's true.
Know, that's the way.
Mate, I'd like to think that's true, Marto.
We've all kept playing. Myself, Martin, and Rob have kept playing in the surf band, The Break, and in different forms. And we're all sort of musical partners, so we've kept that going.
Right.
Pete did the thing in politics, which was fantastic that he did.
Did the thing in politics. That's a great summation. That's going to go up on the Wikipedia.
Actually,
that's great.
Yeah. Peter, we've got Bill Shorten coming in later on in the show. Is there any questions you need to ask him?
I think you could have a really good discussion about the renewable energy target because...
Oh, that won't be happening.
You should. You know, there's a dopey thing going around that we're going to meet our energy security by producing more coal. And actually, you know what? It's going to get hotter and hotter if we produce more coal. So I think Bill's got some good plans there. Ask me about those.
Right.
Yeah, we might.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Will you be listening after, right?
Yes, of course.
No way in the world we're asking you
surely,
that.
Okay. Surely there's something. Doesn't he owe you any money? Like, is there that we can get?
It's just a joke.
Okay. All right, Midnight Oil. Here we go. The Great Circle Tour.
When are the tickets on sale?
Monday, next Monday, 27th at 1 p.m. ticketmaster.com.au. Go and see the Oils. If you've seen them before, you'll be happy to see them again. And why not take a younger member of your family and go, hey, look, this is what music was like before computers did the whole thing. We are looking forward to it. Guys, thanks so much for your time.
Hey, thanks for having us, guys. See ya.
I was looking to bring this up yesterday because it was relating to a news report on Sunday. I watched Channel 7 and they have Flashback on.
Right.
I don't watch Channel 7 news, but the cricket
was
on.
That's good on a Sunday night.
I watched it, yeah. They went back into the start of aerobics. And I went, oh, right up my alley, early 80s. And I was sort of singing along with Rod Young doing Flashback going, yes, that's when it started. That's because I was there. I was at the vanguard, the forefront. I was doing human movements at uni. And this lady rang me and said, listen, yeah, what do you know about this aerobics thing? And there was no internet. I said, oh, I'm not sure. I just understand he had to do a few. It's like a military exercise. We're doing jumping jacks and stuff. Anyway, 1981 and 1982, started doing aerobics, taking aerobics classes.
I can't believe that. Like, you were the guy up the front telling all the girls to do grapevines and all that sort of stuff.
All sorts of things and stretches. It was weird. And there was no Lycra and you wore shorts and things were popping out. Anyway, even as a young man, things were popping out. I just want to talk about... Yeah, let's let a little, some of that go because it wasn't a very
nice
part of my life.
For a long time.
It was 6 months and then I went, I think girls should be taking these classes, not me.
You and Jane Fonda.
Because then I started working at a place called, Rod Young told me this.
Gyms popped up everywhere.
Hey.
Some closed in the middle of the night taking membership money with them.
And that's fads. I've seen it. I saw them all. Like, I used to work at a few. I turned up to the Heartbeat Centre. It used to be at Toowong and they moved into Spring
Heartbeat
Hill.
Center.
It was beauty. It was using exercise physiology. Like, it was, you know, I'm going to uni. I thought I knew what I was doing. And then I turn up one morning and the locks have been changed. And that's the gym industry. It has been ever. Never get into that. And from that moment, I'd seen gyms go broke. And I've watched it for the last 30 years and gone, don't ever get into the gym industry. But everyone's so excited when it starts.
Yeah. Because they're going fads, like you said. Like, how many people did Zumba?
Oh, Zumba.
The craze that's sweeping Australia. Has it finished yet?
Yeah, I think it's still going.
Yeah, pole dancing. You know how you can tell? Oh, pole dancing. Like, that was
Mills.
Les Mills.
That's
remember
still
there
going.
Was, Les Mills, yeah, I think that's... Remember there used to be like a university for Les Mills teaching in... Because my wife used to be a body pump instructor.
I used to love body pump. Oh, my God. It incorporated all the things that were good.
Well,
you didn't have to go out. When I finished playing footy, because you lose all your muscles.
Right.
So, and I'd go out to the gym and it'd be all the... Oh, you blokes are too big. You go into body pump and it was perfect. Because you'd just be in your own zone with a whole lot of chicks.
I'd love to know.
Sorry, go on. I was going to be kind of sycophantic about Marto's wardrobe, but keep going, Ed.
Oh, you know the other one? Hold on. Listen to this one, Ed. The other thing that's, I see it, my daughter's been to it.
3.5 years ago, we had 3 franchises. We now have 750 around the world.
F45. That's right. I meant to talk about that because that's the thing that's going crazy at the moment. And when I see something go crazy, the next thing I know is
it's not going to go. Interval training.
It goes for 45 minutes and you do not stop,
my
friend.
It's the big new thing for all the youngies.
Okay.
I'd like to know which fads you've tried over the years. Which ones have people joined? Maybe just to tell us the name of a gym that used to exist. They've always got good names. Or did you get involved in Zumba? Maybe you did start out with aerobics. Maybe you did Step by Reebok. Maybe you did.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Tybo.
What's Tybo?
What was Tybo?
What have you tried?
Body combat.
What are the fitness fads, the gyms you've joined over the years, the tapes you've watched, the classes you've gone to?
Jane Fonda. Was that her name? Fonda.
Yes. Jane Fonda workout, you bet.
Amanda from Northgate. Amanda, what are you still into?
I'm actually on my way to go help at Nunda to do body combat. So
that's still going. Body combat's still going.
Oh, it's unreal. Yeah, Les Mills rocks, so he's amazing.
Okay. Excellent. Yep. And then you got another one?
I do. I also do a class called Shabam, where a lot of older women, I think there's some age 60 in our class, do twerking to Miley Cyrus and toe tapping to Tay Tay, and really get their groove
twerking.
On, and they have an absolute ball.
I love that.
They absolutely love it. They just get out there and they move their bodies and they feel fantastic. They have a laugh. It's awesome. Shabam.
Oh, it's called Shabam. Okay.
Sounds like something you clean your shower with.
Yeah.
Shabam.
Thanks, Amanda.
Wow.
John of Toowoomba. Oh, now here's one that'll remind a lot of people of breakfast television. What did you used to do?
Well, this got my body really firm and hard. Aerobics Oz style.
Yeah, all right, John. Come on.
I did it. I just watched it.
Uh-huh. Didn't it used to be on like at 6 a.m. on Channel 10?
Yeah, that's the one.
Now, what was John, were you? Now there was a.
Who was your favourite? That fourth one on the left. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, there was a thing about aerobics. A lot of blokes would watch aerobics Oz style, but they wouldn't be moving, John. Yeah, they'd be sitting still.
Let's push on.
That's right. Well, it inspires you, mate. It inspires you. Get you fired up.
Okay. Yeah,
did your mum ever catch you watching aerobics Oz style?
Mate, no. She was a shift worker, mate, so she was always asleep.
Made my morning. Thanks, John.
Sarah of Bell Bowery, what was it that you did or still do?
Well, not that I did. I still do, yes. Steps. Les Mills body step and new body and attack and pump. It's awesome.
That still goes. Tell me, Les Mills, is it true he's from Auckland? He invented all this stuff,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, unfortunately he is a Kiwi, but he is pretty awesome.
And are there any new ones, Sarah? Because all those ones that you said are the ones that I've heard before. Has Les got any new ones?
Well, not that I'm aware of, but you'd have to ask the trainers. And we go to a lovely little family gym at Indooroopilly, and they have all the Les Mills there. Workout at Indooroopilly.
Workout. Is that the one across from Ambrose Tracy?
That's the one. And it's a family-owned gym, and everyone is just so down to earth, and the people that go there and the people that run it. So it's nice to go there and not feel uncomfortable shaking your booty.
They're all still going. I want to know about things that have finished up, like fads that are gone.
Okay, Val.
Well, Val, yeah.
Val?
Oh, good morning.
Hi, Val.
Sorry, gone to sleep.
What's your story? Were you involved in a fad?
I wasn't involved in a fad. I actually worked at the Heartbeat Centre where you were talking about earlier.
Sad old day when it closed up. It was ahead of its time. These guys were laughing at me. Wasn't it ahead of its time?
It was definitely. It was very professional and they did everything right.
Until they employed me.
Yes. But back in the day when the aerobics first started and one of our directors used to bring in the win a Manly football team to do aerobics.
Yes, and I remember. And tell everyone who was in that team.
I think the old Wally King was there.
Yep, Wally did aerobics.
Did he? What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
It's one of his keys. Yeah.
I can just see it now, just sweat dripping off the mustache, falling onto his lycra.
Wristbands.
You can all stop now.
Thanks, Val.
You should lead a class, Marto.
Oh, I'd love you to lead a class. Could you still do it?
Oh, absolutely.
Step ball chain.
Jumping Great jacks, line. Burpees.
We you did the burpees, did you? Oh, you were the old school, like, you know, rather than the dance move aerobics.
Yeah, there wasn't so much. Let's stop talking about this. It was more military based, my aerobics class, than
So you were very disciplined in your structure.
Well, I had no idea. There was no internet. Like, you couldn't go and go, I wonder what aerobics is. Somebody just told you, went, oh, yeah, I think I got it. We've done that at footy
time. Did you do it to music?
Yeah, there was music.
Which, what kind
cassettes.
Of music?
It
was
Let's just stop
what
asking.
Songs? What
All right.
did you make people
All right,
do
I do remember.
To?
What was a Flock of Seagulls? They were
Jesus. I ran. And
them.
I ran.
Spandau Ballet might have been too early for
gold?
Them, but it was stuff no. like those. Gold, yes, was one
gold.
Of them. I don't even try. But the lady who employed me, she did the cassette up for me, and I just had to take it, and I'd slip it in the machine, and then the class, hi, ladies, the class would start. That's
can
how
you,
it was.
Can we
to go.
Do one, like, at some point? Like, I'll even wear proper shoes, but I want to actually. No, but you could still do it.
What's yeah. that? Oh, it's gold by Spandau Ballet.
Oh, yes.
We'll get the mixtape up on triplem.com.au. Marto's aerobics mixtape that you can work out to.
We've got some traffic.
Do what you need to it.
You're very quiet and I appreciate your backup.
No, I just we're going to do burpees to Bross together. It's going to be amazing. He would be the most high-profile Bill in Australia at the moment.
Bill Laurie.
Oh, Bill Laurie. So it's equal first. Opposition leader, Bill Shorten, good morning.
Good morning.
It's nice to have you with us. So what are you doing in Brisbane today? What's on the go?
Oh, is there an election on? That's the last time we saw you before the election, correct?
No, there's no election on. I turn up even when there's not an election
wow.
on.
Wow.
That's how fed income
I know. I know what he's doing. Up to see his mother-in-law for a feed.
Oh, no, I think she's in Melbourne today.
Oh, she's
in
Melbourne. Right, okay.
No, I'm up here talking about jobs. We want to talk to the TAFE sector about how we encourage more young people into apprenticeships. How do we help employers have the incentive to employ more apprenticeships? It's all about kids who don't want to go to uni or would like to do a trade, making sure their parents realise they can.
Okay,
you're lucky because we've got someone who has got his own program running at the moment. Marto, tell Bill what you're doing with your son, because I think this is a really smart idea.
His sister had a gap year last year, okay? Yeah. My young bloke just turned 17, just finished school, and he doesn't know whether he knows that he doesn't want to go to uni, but he doesn't know which trade. So we're making him, well, it's his useful year. He's going to find out. He's going to be with mate who's an electrician, mate who's a plumber, mate who's a carpenter. He's doing that at the moment, doing a bit of landscaping and learning how to weld.
Yeah,
why can't you pay him? Because otherwise I and my mates have to pay him to learn all this stuff. Isn't that not an interesting way? Because he's got two mates who have already started their apprenticeships 2 months down the track. One of them got buggered off by the boss, said, oh, I can't be bothered anymore. And the other kid said, I don't like being a plumber anymore.
Well, I reckon what you're doing with the young bloke's a great idea. Quite often schools have pre-apprenticeship courses, so they get someone who's in year
His
10
school
or
didn't.
Year 11. Yeah, well, that's a challenge. So I'd like to see more pre-apprenticeship courses. That way, if you've got someone who's interested in learning a trade, they're perhaps sitting in the classroom's not, you know, the drum, they're not going to march to the beat of that drum.
Yeah.
Then they get to sort of get their hands dirty, they get to see what it's all about, and then they can find if they like it. So that's one thing. The other thing is I do believe that we've got to make it easier for kids to do apprenticeships and for adults to retrain. So I do think we should not just be giving them loans, which means they get into debt, but putting some incentive for employers to defray the cost
that's
of employing them.
That's the big one. None of my mates want to employ apprentices because you don't get your return on them until the third year. So the first 2 years, do you realise that, Ed and Robin? Like your first 2 years, you're paying out because they're not useful.
But
by the third year, they're actually giving you a return.
But to be fair, apprentices' wages aren't very high.
That's right.
So it's 55%. So really the people supporting apprentices are the parents.
There's not enough people employed.
I would say because my son's in year 12 and I don't think he will necessarily follow an academic path, but it's not trendy. It's not cool within their peer group. Like, unlike Marto's son, who's, you know, Marto's a builder, so it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
But when they're looking at what to do after they finish school, they're not going, oh, my gosh, I have to be a plumber or
an
electrician.
Keen to get some high-vis on.
Yeah,
well,
they're
my, not. They're going to politics, they don't want to wear high-vis.
I know what you mean.
No, but I think that's why the schools have got to offer a bit more diverse curriculum so that you might know if you want to do something, but if you've never seen it, how do you know? My dad was a seafarer, but he was a fitter and turner. So my parents always made clear to my twin brother and I, if we wanted to go to uni, that's good. Just they said get the marks. Or if we want to do an apprenticeship, that's fine. And they'd provide some support for that. So you're right. If the kids haven't seen it in their peer group, it's not so clear.
No.
But that's why I think politicians and everyone else have got an obligation to talk it up as a real option and make it easier for kids to find out.
We're short on apprentices, aren't we?
We are. We're a nation. We have, you know, this is a fact you won't ever get asked in a pub trivia night, but there's 1.6 million Australians with a trades qualification. But the problem is they're all getting older. And I'm going to have to make this point. Yep. Since my opponents got into one government 3.5 years ago, we've gone from over 400,000 apprentices to under 300,000.
Wow.
That is crazy.
That's enormous.
Because then what happens is we just import people from overseas temporarily to do the work we should be training our own young people.
And you import them, you never get rid of them again, do you?
Well, it's not even that. Some of them go back, but it's a short-term strategy. We should actually take the long-term and train up because our apprentices, the current tradies, are getting older and older.
Yep.
And I know that is a dig at Marto, and I appreciate that, which is great because Marto's first job as an apprentice, he worked on the pyramids.
Let's get ready
for
a song.
He did foundation work in Giza on
the
pyramids.
Let's get a song. I think I saw his initials there.
We have opened up the lines, Bill, and there are a lot of people that would like to come on and have a chat to you. But the first person that got through is a man by the name of Mal from Point Piper. Mal from Point Piper, you're on with Bill Shorten.
Good morning to you, Marto, Ed and Robin, and hello to you,
hello,
Bill.
Sir.
Good morning, Mal.
You probably recognise my voice from across the chamber. I have been unkind to you in recent times, silly Billy, and I'd like to extend the invitation to my Italianate palazzo in Point Piper so you can just get a feel for what it's like to have a harbourside mansion.
Whoa. Thank you, Malcolm.
I think you were quite clear that he was quite clear that you know a lot of wealthy people yourself, Bill.
Well, I'm not quite a billionaire, but you can still put your knees under my table. It's magnificent marble gilded with 24-carat gold. I think you'll feel comfortable there, Bill. Bring the Labor Party issue pyjamas that they give you, a Hessian sack.
The ones with the convict markings on them.
That's right, because I'll be wearing the royal blue Liberal Party G-string underneath my pyjamas.
What's that made out of? Hey, Mel, I've always wanted to know, what is the royal... When you get to the highest levels of the Liberal Party and they hand you the royal blue G-string, what material is that made from?
Well, it's made from the finest silk from the subcontinent. I think they raise their own silkworms out there.
Do they?
The Western Australian branch of the Liberal Party.
Any questions you had for Mr. Shorten?
Just skimming some iron ore here and there, just picking up hunks of it and taking it to China. Now, I'll tell you what, Bill, did you watch Q&A last night?
No, I missed it, but I hear that Saturn George, the Attorney General, was in fine form.
Well, George Brandis was trying some of his material for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
He did some great gear on it. If you've got a problem with Centrelink, just call Centrelink. I fell off the couch laughing. Lucy thought I was going to have an aneurysm. If you've got a problem with Centrelink, call Centrelink. George, that's amazing stuff. Terrific.
All right, Mal from Point Piper. I'm sure you got a very busy day. We better let you go. Thank you for coming on and having a chat to opposition leader Bill.
And Malcolm, how are those new solar panels?
For me before I go. Oh.
No, I had a question for you too, Malcolm. Ooh. How are your new solar panels going on your roofs?
Mm. Well, I tell you what, for a climate change denier, they're bringing down the electricity prices magnificently.
You're selling in. I just hope that next time New South Wales has a power shortage, you can sell them some of your solar power at a good price, though.
I'll send it on to South Australia when it's not a windy day.
All right. Thank you, Mal, from Point Piper.
Thanks,
you're good guys and great constituents. Bye now. Yeah.
Cheerio.
Yeah, that
was good.
And, I thought you handled that pretty well.
Well, it's like a normal conversation with Malcolm. Let him do all the talking.
Yeah. All right, Bill Shorten, opposition leader. Thanks for your time. Good luck pushing the apprenticeship barrow.
Good on you guys. Nice to be on your show.
Okay, Robin, Marto, Married at First Sight. It's juggernaut, the juggernaut, where they pair people together through science, Robin. And if you're one of the blokes that's in the show, you just hope that you get one of the girls... that are well endowed from the Gold Coast, and
Cheryl's taken on to a second husband.
Yeah, but cracks are starting the show. And so, I mean, I'm as shocked as you, Marto, that cracks are starting the show in these rock solid relationships.
Psychologists have put them together.
Yes, I know.
There's science in this.
there's science in this, and one of the cracks has appeared in. I forget the names, Rob. Who are these two? What are
they called? So it's one of the twins,
the twinnies.
Sharon.
Oh yeah,
and Nick, who's the taller of the guys that was matched with one of the.
Was
twins.
He the one that drank rum one night? He got on the rums one night. Their first date. Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
he's a catch. He's a real catch. I mean,
there's not many of them around. Like
no. Princes, you know, where you got to kiss a lot of frogs before you find a bourbon
keeper.
Breath prince.
Okay, this is not going to help his cause at all.
Well, what's going on?
Last night in the commitment ceremony, Ed, what happened?
There became an issue, Robin, around his attendance at certain adult establishments. Here is a little bit of what went on.
A topic was brought up by someone at the dinner table. Stripping, it was.
Yeah.
And, we were just elaborating on that subject and finding out that he spends a regular amount of time at the... Did.
As, you know, I'm married now.
He's been single for the past 4 years.
That was my mentality. Yeah. I'm single, I could do what I want. And I hang out with the boys.
Right.
Who else? Like, who's a guy who hasn't been to a strip club before?
Yeah, and that's it. And that's what I said to him at the end of the day. I was like, that's your life. As a single person, but just know that I wouldn't feel comfortable with my partner spending a regular amount of time.
I spend most of my time at a strip club.
Oh,
I used to.
You were saying every weekend.
Back in the day, I guess.
Every second weekend.
And he was trying to play it down. But he had a membership card.
I don't think they're open enough. Why don't they do breakfast sometimes at strip clubs? Like, they're really limiting themselves.
Well, so McDonald's
they can get a hold of it. Hang on, wait. Because as a chick, I'm slightly with Sharon. I would find that quite disturbing if my guy had to go to a strip club every second weekend.
I'll admit, before Ed gets it out, I do not have a membership club, what do you call it? Am I that band still going?
Your band, mate. You're persona non grata.
Hey, Robin.
Hey, you, Ed Cavalier.
I will speak for us. We don't do strip clubs.
No.
I don't know. Maybe we're weirdos.
Well, yes. I'm curious. Is a strip club
doing
in
a bar.
Relation?
I love a drink, but I never go. Oh, geez, I wouldn't mind having a look at a bit of a strip on the way home. Just get home.
Because I think that some people would say, and I've heard this said that they believe it enhances their relationship.
Oh no, they're the blokes that go. It doesn't matter which menu, how many menus you look at, as long as you eat at home. There's blokes that say that.
Wait, because I would be curious to talk to someone who thinks that that's a good thing for
single
their relationship.
Single blokes, it's fine. I don't think it's a good thing if you're married.
Well, I don't know.
Strip clubs, going to strip clubs when you're in a relationship, yes or no? Maybe you're a bloke that's you can always remain anonymous. Who thinks, it's fine and it enhances things.
Maybe it gets you working. Is that what you mean?
I'm curious because I think that strip clubs are not just haunted by single guys.
Because your partner, I'm guessing we're talking females will be the ones that are home and it'll be the males going to the strip club. Is that what we are talking about?
Well, maybe.
So girls just love a horny bloke who smells of beer getting home, don't they?
I mean, if we were talking manpower in the 90s, I'd agree with you.
Girls used to love strip clubs. Are they still going? Strip nights.
Yeah, we'd have those cruises, remember? You'd
get manpower. Or they'd close down Tracks nightclub. Yeah, I remember hanging out there. The girls go crazy after that.
So does it? Okay, so this is open to both men and women.
Yep.
Does it help your relationship? I want to know. Josh of Redland Bay, what do you reckon?
I think it's a stupid idea, honestly.
Yeah, why is that?
Because you're committed to that relationship. You shouldn't need to go to those establishments to have a good time. You should be able to have that time with your partner.
What about Josh though? That it's like a release for people. They would say, I've had friends who are in relationships that would frequent these places, as actually happened on the weekend, and they would always, when I would protest, they would always say, mate, you don't understand. We go there, we let our hair down. It's just it's crazy, and then we feel good. You know, we go home. What do you say to them?
Yeah, well, for some people, it might do something for them. But for me, honestly, it doesn't do anything for me.
No, I'm with you,
Josh. It's a stupid idea.
Yeah, don't be ashamed, Josh. I'm with you.
No, I agree with Josh. I'm just trying to put the other point across. Yeah, thank you, Josh.
Janelle of Daisy Hill. Oh, okay, Janelle. What do you think about strip clubs and relationships?
I think they're fantastic.
Oh, righto. How come?
Because, you know, when the guys are feeling down and low, they go there, they get an ego boost.
Ah.
They get...
Interesting.
Yeah, that's it.
How do they get they get attention from the ladies that are working there, right?
Most of the girls that are working there are very, very smart and intelligent.
That's what I always hear.
I'm not a stripper, right?
No.
Okay.
My husband takes me.
So you want to go?
He takes you along.
No, he takes me.
Oh, now you're getting interesting. Listen, so he buys his dancer dollars and you guys sit there and appreciate the entertainment.
That's right, I do. And also, because you have to have money to go in there, you're not getting riffraff, really.
Okay.
You've got to have a bit of money to go in there. So you're not getting riffraff. You're not getting annoyed by drunken people. You're not getting bombarded by doof 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 music. That's right. And a lot of people go in there to get a quality of night life without all the teeny boppers, without all the teenagers.
He said, not slightly. I would be so uncomfortable. It would. And look, I know that some strippers make a lot of money and it's their choice and they're good for it. But
how much do they make?
They can make a lot of money.
What, $1,000 a night?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well, actually, we can ask Steve of Kalanga because he used to run one. Hey, Steve.
All right.
Steve.
Hey, mate, how you going?
Thanks to Janelle. Steve, what's the story?
There is actually, I used to run one up in the north back about 20 years ago in my younger years. Yeah. Most of the patrons, about probably a quarter to a third, would actually be female at any given night.
What's that all about?
It's just, like I said, three main reasons. One is you do get a lot of couples that come in that the women are actually happy for their man to... It really comes down to the relationship. If you're comfortable in the relationship and that's fine between you and your partner, there's not a lot of issue. And you can usually see the new relationships that come in and the women aren't into it, and they usually don't stay for very longer than 5 or 10 minutes.
What do the girls do, Steve? Sorry to cut you off, mate, but while the men are getting, you know, attention and getting dances and wandering around and putting dollars in places, what are their girlfriends doing? What are their partners
actually
doing?
Actually, 9 times out of 10, a lot of the time it's actually the women doing it. The women actually let their hair down more in those sort of establishments than men.
They're experimenting.
Okay. So, Steve, how much does a stripper earn?
Well, it really depends. Like, sometimes if you get on a regular night, anywhere from about $1,000 to $1,500 a night on a good night. But if we get, like when we used to get the American ships in, the girls would easily take home $3,000 a night.
Wow. Righto.
Wow.
Hey, how do you go about getting a membership card? Is that a regular thing? How often do you have to go?
Look, we never used to do that with the club I used to work at, I'm sort of out of
the last thing you want in your wallet.
Do you want to Google it for you, Marto?
We are getting plenty of calls through.
I did find out about membership for you for Love and Rockets if you want it.
I'm not kidding, but assume you're interested.
But what is it?
How much?
Well, you can get a February $100 deal. It's called the Mates Rates Deal.
That's pretty good. Short month, though.
Yeah, yeah. Bottle of spirit. Chosen mixes.
Short month. I want the VIP card. Hold on. Let's go to someone who knows. Peter from Ipswich. Married?
Yeah, mate. Been married for 13 years.
And still go occasionally to the strip club?
Yeah, we still go occasionally. It's the only problem I have now is the wife comes, so it costs me twice as much.
Okay, why does she come, Pete?
She enjoys the same as I do that way sometimes. You know, we get out, we go together, and that was her one rule. If you're going, I'm coming.
The hair, she have trouble keeping her hands off you on the way home?
Well, sometimes.
Who couldn't?
Well, that'd kind of be the plan, wouldn't it?
Well, I figure so.
Okay, well,
better than a movie.
Pete.
Actually, you know what? It's better than a lot of movies I've seen.
That's so true. If it's La La Land or Love and Rockets, I know which one I'm picking.
Thank you. Thank you.
Step of Toowong.
I go to strip clubs at least once a month, and back when I was like 18, 19, I'd be there 3-4 nights a week.
Whoa.
And I'd go with all my male mates, and you would get so much more attention. Like, you would just be, because there's a female there.
Oh, they feel safer.
Come and give you, yeah, they feel safer, so they come up and they give you more attention, which means you get better perks.
Oh, now perks. Yeah, Steph, you sound very happy about the perks. What were the perks?
We used to get bottle service. We used to get free drinks, you know.
Oh, wow. Okay. But Steph, we haven't got time for everyone, and you'll have to be our last caller. But Chris from Caboolture, listen to this one, Steph. He reckons there's no need to go because why would you look at something you're not allowed to touch?
Well, you can touch it. As long as you follow the rules.
Oh. And what are the rules
are
of stripping?
On my membership card?
every club's different, but the last one I went to was in the Valley, and, you know, you could touch them anywhere until they said no. Until they said no. As long as you followed the rules, that was fine. I ended up
we'll taking their clothes off.
Hang on.
No, you won't. Yeah. You will not be talking off air.
Steph, very well versed in the rules.
Thank you, Steph.
Moment we've all been waiting for, a 13353. The poll results. Yes, you'll be happy to know you are vindicated people in relationships. 65% say it's okay to go.
Can I ask, is Steph part of, is there a rules committee at Love and Rockets?
Sit down. Need to change the rules.
Okay, there is one song and one song only that is dividing my car and my family when my children are in the car.
Amen.
And that is a song that we play on Triple M, and I know that it divides people as to whether they love it or whether they hate it. It's this one. Disturb. Sound of Silence. Of course, the redo of the Simon and Garfunkel classic, which I was trying to explain to my children. But one of my kids just hates his voice, like passionately hates his voice, finds it slightly disturbing and just wants it off. Whereas the rest of the car is quite happy. And as we're driving places, and I actually really love it. I mean, I do all know all the words because of my childhood, but, you know, anyway, the kids that were trying to convince my eldest son, excuse me, that it was actually valuable, tried to Google and do as you do when you're an iChild, and that is to find out how many YouTube views it's had, because, of course, that validates it instantly.
Oh, God, really?
Is that how they do it?
That's how they do it. They were trying to convince him that he knew nothing about what he was talking about, but here's the staggering statistic.
Hold on. Are you talking that one or the Simon Garfunkel
No,
original?
I'm talking this one. Right? Yeah. So keep in mind, Lady Gaga has about 165 million views on some of her biggest songs, right?
Jesus.
Beyonce has 130 million.
Yeah.
Disturb.
Yeah.
183 million views.
That song.
That song. Now, it's not downloads.
It's never even entered my consciousness.
Really?
Oh, I love the Simon and Garfunkel, but that thing, I couldn't care.
I love it. It's so haunting. Whereas, you know, Sam, one of our producers, just about kills himself every time he hears it. He hates
it. He doesn't like it.
But don't worry, because, you know, if you're talking about classy songs, let me give you the top five of all views on YouTube, because this will really...
Now, are these videos or just audio?
No, it's video. So they're looking at them, but they're not downloading them so that they can have them in their own phones. No, they're just checking it out, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Number five, Justin Bieber, 169 million. Blank Space by Taylor Swift, 169.5 million.
How does that one go, somebody?
Number three, Uptown Funk, Bruno Mars, 1.7 million.
That was all right.
Number two.
Wait, how many?
1.7.
Were they good chicks?
Billion.
1.7 billion, not million. Yeah, billion, right. Sorry.
Were they good-looking chicks in that Uptown Funk? Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good.
Women in
shorty shorts.
Every Bruno Mars.
Yeah, pretty good. On roller skates, I think. Anyway.
So where are we up to, number two?
Number two is See You Again, Charlie Puth. That's 1.9 billion.
What's that song?
After the guy who died in the Fast and Furious movies. That was the song that was related.
That was when Charlie Puth and Wiz Khalifa used Paul Walker's death to make themselves rich.
Pretty much. 1.9 billion.
What's the song, though? Come on, you gotta, can't just say the words.
See you again.
Yeah.
I'm with
you. Haven't you seen Fast and Furious 7?
Yes, I have.
It's a good movie.
I have seen the movie.
Do you want the number one viewed song of the entire universe on YouTube with 2.6 billion views?
Let him guess.
I won't get it. Why don't you get it? Oh, you probably already know.
I already know.
Yeah, come on.
And it's not Hey Hey, We're the Broncos.
Oh, no, no. Oh, I have no relevance. I've got no idea. So it's got to be a girl or boy?
It's a boy. It's a boy from South Korea who only really ever had one hit, and it was...
No way.
This one.
Number one.
Number one.
Of all time.
Of all time views on YouTube. See, you thought Disturbed was bad.
What a stuffed world we live in.
So Gangnam Style is the number one song on YouTube
ever
of all time. It's also the funeral song for Kim Jong-nam. So. Okay, Robin, I'm now looking at the article, Push to Ban Junk Food at Schools. Mm-hmm. It's saying it's out with the chips and it's in with the salad sandwiches at sporting venues and at schools.
What year's written on this article? Is it 2004?
No. Look, there's been a group of nutritional experts who are recommending that we should have a sugar tax, first and foremost.
Yes.
And then the second issue is to get rid of junk foods out of schools, because Australia has the second highest rate of obesity in the world and it's costing our health system so much, which we all know, right?
Yep.
But what they're now saying, do you remember when your kids were at school, the traffic light system?
Yeah,
the
they
red
brought it in when
green?
My kids were at Kath was running the tuck shop at our school when it came in, and everything seemed to be all right. Like, they made a lot of noise, but there wasn't a lot of rubber hitting the road.
Yeah, well, I do remember, though, that when all that stuff happened, there were times where, like, and this was particularly preschool and kindies, that if you brought a red food item that and you did it consistently, that notes would go home saying you can't actually have this.
Well, I don't know the traffic light system. So what would be a red
Red's
food?
Really bad.
Like a Mars
lollies,
bar.
Yeah.
So flat out lollies.
Yeah, like high sugar
or
content.
Or a can of softy.
Can of softy.
If you took a little can of Sprite and put it in their little kindy lunchbox.
Yeah, no, you can't do that. That's right.
Or like a single Winnie Blue. That's a red. Yeah.
That would definitely be a red.
Just one Winnie Blue. Can't have that.
Oh, I think it's nice.
And amber would be, what would be an amber? It'd be like probably an orange juice because they're really high in sugar.
And sugar,
but
popper,
there's
like
a little
popper.
Popper would probably be an amber. And then green are all your good stuff. So good.
You're saying
a carrot and a head of cauliflower. That's all you're allowed to eat.
A paleo Pete.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So is this trying to get, it sounds as though they're trying to embarrass parents into not wanting to be the only ones that are, you know, sending their kids to school with the red stuff. So is it they're trying to get
you
the
get
kids
letters
to
you get emails sent home to warn you
absolutely.
And make you feel bad. And then they'll put it in the newsletter, won't they?
Yes.
Certain parents have been doing, you know, has been sending a lot of red, you know, they're just shaming everyone.
But they do it, you know, as the kid gets older, there's less control. So if you're starting in the kindy space and preschool where everyone can see what's in your lunchbox, that's much more about parents being able to say, well, that parent or that kid is not okay.
But then
in primary school where they actually have the tuck shop, they have less control because some people buy and some people don't.
Yeah, right.
See, we're educating Ed here. And by the time you get to grade 12, there's a maximum of 2 alcoholic drinks per lunch. So it's all fine. But the simple fact is there's parents, because as Robin said, it's really bad. Their control over and shaming you in grade 1 and 2 is bad. There's parents that have to arrange with their kids, so they'll sit there, mainly dads. I don't know, maybe mums do this. They'll hide the good stuff underneath. Hide the amber stuff underneath green stuff. That'll just be top ambush area.
Or you're going to have to start patting down kids on the way in. Yeah. You know, there'll be kids with Snickers bars strapped to their body, like in border security.
Body cavity search. You need a pair of gloves.
You know, what I used to do, which is probably really bad, but we'd have a wholemeal roll, so lots of grain, but I'd put Nutella on it.
Oh my gosh,
Fight back.
Are the best.
Fight back.
We may have to put you in jail, but you're the best.
Okay, IPL auction, Indian Premier League, the 2020 cricket competition. It is the biggest money spinner for cricketers, you know, apart from Swiss vitamin ads. This is where you make yourself. We all know, Robin, you, me and Marta, we all know former Australian cricketers who at the end of their career, just as the IPL started, they got a couple of big contracts and it completely changed their life.
One of our favourites, Andrew Symonds. I remember that article. Did you see that in the paper? He claimed that it was like winning lotto 3 or 4 years in a row, 1.5 mil. Bang, 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 bang.
And
he played 6 weeks a year and went fishing.
Yeah, and we were so happy for them because they'd done what?
Bloody oath.
15 years of first-class cricket. You know, slugging it out and then playing test cricket for Australia. And
he'd had
to
put up with Michael Clarke, Andrew Symonds. He deserved every cent.
So how long do they play for that 1.5 mil?
About 6 weeks.
That's it.
It's about 6 weeks. And it's only 20, no, it's only 20 overs, Robin. And if you're a bowler, you bowl your 4 overs.
24 balls. 24 balls you may bowl, what, once, maybe twice a week.
Can you? Yep. Can the rest of us have a crack at that?
You have a crack, but you'll be like a lot of these blokes, unsold.
And that's the thing. It's about their name, though, isn't it? Like you buy. They buy the big name players.
Well, it's
of
more
the
than
moment.
That too. Of the moment. So the key valuer, Marto, which we're finding out now, is if you have done well in other formats like Test cricket or One Day cricket in India before the auction. That's how you get the most money.
Well, explain to Robin, or explain to everybody who got the most amount of money this time.
Ben Stokes. So Ben Stokes, people will remember Ben Stokes. He was the big redhead. And so it's really weird. It's a strange look because he's a big redhead with a English, you know, sounding voice, and he's playing for England, but he's got a sort of a New Zealand style tattoo on his arm. So it's
tribal
quite an odd
thing.
Yes,
he's
yeah.
born okay. and raised. I just looked him up. Born and raised in Christchurch, bro.
Yeah, yeah, but the Christchurchians all have quite...
Are very English.
They do.
Yeah.
They sound English.
But well, 2.8, but to tell everybody, because I wondered about, this is what you answered for me while that song was on, I wondered why him? Because how good is he? Apparently he's never played T20.
No, but in the recent Test series when England were in India and got hammered, he was their best player. He scored a lot of runs for England. He took wickets and he was feisty. So he's a personality as well. And that's what they're buying. So he got, just for that, Robin, $2.8 million for 7 weeks. Now let's go to the Aussies. Because I know that both of you are absolutely dying to know how forward Ahmed went in the auction.
Who's forward Ahmed? Is he the leg spinner?
He's the leggy from Victoria.
Nobody bought him, did they?
No, they didn't. No. But also Brad Haddon, zero. Oh.
What about Brad Hogg?
Yeah, Hoggy, who has had...
He's one of the greats.
One of the greats.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Unsold this year. It's the first year he hasn't got a gig.
No one wants that tongue sticking out anymore.
No, that's awful. That's like a worst dating game ever. You put yourself up.
He's 44. It's time to get a job.
Pat Cummins was the highest paid Australian.
How much?
$875,000. He's gone to the Delhi Daredevils.
What a life.
So how come the Indians have so much money? Like, who are these people?
All right. You know how if let's say MKR is on TV and it rates all right, would that be 1.2 million?
Yeah.
The IPL's on, it's 400 million eyeballs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe I've underestimated that, have I?
Okay.
No, you're about right.
Half a billion people watch.
Yeah. And it's also impossible to work out how many people watch in India too, because a lot of people watch together and they're sort of crowded around. So it's huge numbers, Robin. And I know that you'll be so happy to know that Krishnappa Gothwam went to the Mumbai Indians for $390,000.
Yes. Right.
You were wondering about that.
I was.
Yeah, off air, it's all she talks about.
Full list.
All Robin talks about is Krishnappa Gothwam off air, I can assure you.
Mitch Johnson go? How did he go?
Yeah, Mitch got to go. Mitch only got $390,000 to go to the Mumbai Indians. Nathan Coulter-Nile was the second highest Australian, $680,000 to go to the Kolkata Knight Riders. And Michael Clark got $450,000. They all put it together and said, please don't come.
Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
Well, I think you all know my wife's favourite show is MKR. I've never been a fan until finally I walked past and watched the screen and went, there's Matt. Wow, he's on MKR. He's with us now. If you don't know him, apparently his name now is Matt the Rat, the Dirty Cheat. Matt, Marto here.
Hey, mate, how you going?
Good. What the hell are you doing on this show?
Oh, I don't know, mate. I guess, you know, you sometimes in life you just have to do what the better half wants you to do. And
all right.
Oh, he's been forced into it.
Yeah.
He's been forced into a cooking show. I know how you feel, Matt. I had to go to IKEA the other weekend. It was horrible.
They had Matt peeling mandarins. That was his major task.
Well, you know, Elise knows what she's doing in the kitchen, and clearly she was in charge. Although you've got to say, Matt, to jar or not to jar, man, you used a jar of something and it cost you so many points.
Yeah, it did, didn't it? The whole night, I guess, hinged on that dish. Like, we did pretty well with our entree and our dessert, but, yeah, Maine really did let us down.
Kath said that was a good brand of curry paste, though, so she was quite proud that you grabbed it. But what are you going to do? What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to wear a
Make
turban now when you're making a curry. Right. Like, have you got to be authentic?
Oh, mate, we learnt that recipe up at the Spirit House at Yandina. So, you know, it's a really good recipe, and you can get that sort of dish up there on their menu. But, you know, obviously, if you have the time to make the curry paste,
I'll get stuff. No one has that sort of time, Matt.
and we could make it, but obviously, just that pressure kind of situation, and I guess we ended up using something that we probably shouldn't have used.
Hey, Matt, can I just quickly ask? You were Marto's Pilates instructor, is that correct?
Yeah.
Is he any good?
Don't have to answer.
Look, he's pretty good. I guess if we don't have to do anything that involves the knees, then
Like Marto. Mate, Harry, you probably don't even know Harry, but he obviously looks at you at the gym. He said, "There's Matt." I said, "No, that's my Matt." He said, "No, I know him from the gym." So you obviously go to the gym at the same time as my son. He goes, "He's got huge muscles. He's so good." You got a fan there, mate.
Oh, thanks, mate. That's good. I was probably more hoping you'd be my fan, mate, but.
I am. I'm up Australia for calling you Matt the Rat. I just want you to win this.
Please tell me that you beat Josh and Amy. Please, please, please tell me.
Look, we can't give away any spoilers. You guys will have to watch tonight. But
God, how much longer you got to be on the show?
Oh, mate.
He's available for Pilates next week.
Yeah. Oh, the show's all done and dusted now, so it's all been filmed. And, I'm back at work, mate. So
oh, I can come on down.
Whenever you need to get those rusty hinge knees going, mate, we can get in.
Oh, you're too good. Hey, good luck, mate. None of us think you're a cheat. If you went to Sultan's Kitchen, I would, but that's all right.
Matt from MKR, beautiful muscles, Pilates instructor extraordinaire. If you need your pelvic floor worked on, he is the man. We will speak to you soon. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, guys.
Hey, did you see that thing with Trump last night? Yeah, he'd gone down to Florida on the weekend.
Yep.
I didn't realize. He's obviously gone down to his own property down there, Mar-del-Lago or something it's called. Italian for near the lake or whatever it is.
You don't know.
Sea near the lake, isn't Maris? Anyway, he's down there. And they're all whinging. They're going, "You said you were going to just hang out in the White House. What are you doing down there again?" Like, it's his beach house, which, $50 million beach house.
Wow.
All right. So I just went, no, he's got every right. He can go down there on the weekend if he wants. But then at the end of the story, they revealed that it's costing them a little bit. I thought he was paying for it all, but it's costing the taxpayer a bit.
Estimates put Trump's travel costs around $13 million in 1 month, almost as much as the Obamas' travel cost US taxpayers in 1 year.
He's an expensive unit to run. He's like a trophy wife. What about him?
$13 million.
So he's not going Tiger.
No.
So he's not. He's not.
he's not using his own plane then, is he?
No, you're not allowed. Oh. You're not allowed. No, you're not allowed. If you are the US president, you have to fly on Air Force One because it's got the hospital inside it.
Oh,
it's got all of the things that that the president needs. And also there's another plane that flies behind it.
What's
as
that?
Well.
Air Force Two.
Yes, I believe so. Although maybe, yeah. And so it's like a huge convoy. And so he just, everywhere he goes, it's not just him. Remember when Obama came to Brisbane? Remember there was the carrier that had the cars?
Remember all the cars
had to come as well?
Yeah.
And they're all 8 tons and stuff, their cars.
And he rides a Segway. So that's not cheap. You've got to put that somewhere.
I love it.
This Marto, Ed and Robin catch-up is brought to you by the unbreakable Toyota Hilux SR5 with satellite navigation and 3.5-tonne towing and trailer sway control. Search Toyota Value.